host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Very excited to welcome George Allen, chairman of Lowell Farms and founder of Geronimo Capital. George, thanks for coming on the show, man.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for having me. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be here. So appreciate it.
Absolutely. Been looking forward to our chat for a few weeks now. So I'm excited to, you know, finally get you on the show. And, you know, George, you have a phenomenal background in the space. You know, you've been all over the place from on the investing side to you were the president of Acreage Holdings, obviously now chairman of the board for Lowell and founder of Geronimo Capital. So why don't you just walk us through maybe, you know, what's going on, what the focus is over at Geronimo, what's happening at Lowell Farms, and then we could get into it.
Well, Geronimo has been my company for quite some time. We've made a fair number of passive and active investments across the cannabis landscape. Most recently and most actively, we're involved in Lowell Farms. And I serve as chairman of Lowell Farms, which is a full-time capacity in the business. Super excited to do it. I love the brand. I love the business. I love the team. It's been a lot of fun. So that takes almost all my time these days. In addition to a few passive investments we manage and monitor on the side.
And so on the Geronimo side, is there anything that you guys are currently like? What's your core focus that you're looking at when it comes to investing in the cannabis space?
Well, we've done investments almost across the entire landscape in cannabis. I will generally say that you know, it's been a bit of an active. It's been a market where you've seen a lot more opportunity to invest on the public side lately. And so we've done more of that. Although early on, we did a fair number of private investments in the space, all sort of capitalizing on their information base and network within cannabis, which is just a fantastic market to be participants in right now.
Now, you have been, you know, involved in Geronimo for quite some time. So I think, you know, you've been there since what, 2010, I think I saw?
Yeah. So Geronimo's my vehicle and my investment vehicle. Right. And I've got a small team that works with us on it. We've been doing it since 2010, been investing across the landscape. And I got involved in cannabis really early on when I met a founder who really inspired me and spent a lot of time looking at the industry and eventually jumped in with both feet and started my career.
But when you launched Geronimo back in 2010, was there any cannabis involved back then?
No. Geronimo at the time, we were focused on information services and software. It sort of was serendipitous that cannabis came around. And when the first time I saw cannabis as an investment opportunity, I'd never looked back.
Awesome. So I think one of the questions I definitely had for you is, you know, kind of looking at your background, right? You know, you were the president at Acreage, right? Which is, you know, obviously one of the largest MSOs out there. And now, obviously, chairman of Lowell Herbs, being kind of one of the premier brands in California, what was the transition like there?
Well, at Acreage, it was a different journey. I mean, it was all about you know, the MSO foot race to size and scale and breadth of markets. And I think one of the things we saw early on was we saw that the market was really going to be focused on brand and brand evolution, and it was a bet that I wanted to make in terms of how brands would evolve and capture the imagination of consumers over just the pure commodity in cannabis. And California felt like the right place to sort of take that learning experience and set upon our journey there. So we found a set of opportunities in California, stitched together a business that today is Lowell Farms. And I'm really grateful for the opportunity. It's been a crazy ride so far, and we've got big plans for the future.
Totally. I know. I mean, Lowell's done a really fantastic job with a lot of their products. And, you know, you guys are pretty much known for, you know, a lot of your pre-rolls and even baked goods and gummies and beverages and, you know, kind of being in the space right now. You know, when you kind of look at what's happening, are there any formats from a product perspective that seem to be in higher demand today. And, you know, just as far as the consumer, like, are consumer tastes evolving right now as cannabis is starting to be more, you know, super mainstream?
Well, Jeff, it's a really interesting question. And what's happening in cannabis is the consumer taste is definitely evolving. And one of the things that we've been watching is this sort of return to flower as more consumers sort of get a little bit disenchanted with the balance of offerings in cannabis. I think you've seen a couple things that really congealed around creating an opportunity for cannabis in its natural form to sort of take hold. I think the broad base, the acceptance of cannabis, the stigma is gone. And if you think about like the earliest days of cannabis, there really a lot of the product innovation was really based around this premise of how easily can you conceal the product. Mm-hmm. That the sort of blooms off the rose there, or the sort of the better analogy is horses out of the barn. And so consumers are now sort of being more open about their use and choice of cannabis. And that makes it far easier for consumers to smoke flower and ultimately pre-rolls in a sort of uninhibited fashion. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to continue to see that as consumers come in touch with sort of all the breadth of experiences that consuming cannabis in its raw form gives you that you sort of lose in this sort of highly processed manifestation.
Now, I wanted to ask you a question that I saw earlier today, just because we have so many listeners that come in, especially from the West Coast and, you know, especially California, but also people in New York, as, you know, New York has obviously gone legal in the last year. More and more people are starting to follow the news. You know, there was something that came across my desk this morning with, you know, the new, you know, cannabis tax reform that Newsom is getting behind. And so obviously there's been so much chatter about California and cannabis and just how it's been a mess. Anything that you could maybe give us?
Yeah, by the way, it's news to me that he's getting behind it. I would generally say, like, consider me slightly skeptical that Gavin Newsom is getting behind cannabis tax reform.
Yeah.
I think an hour, two and a half of his presentation on his budget, he gave us a scant recognition that maybe he would be willing to negotiate for cannabis tax reform. But really, in my opinion, it's sort of, you know, let's see the details here before I become sort of a raving Gavin Newsom fan on cannabis tax reform.
I feel like a lot of the politicians, they kind of get behind, you know, making these big claims and then nothing happens.
I mean, I don't have much of a comment to that other than that, like, you know, this is like gravity points down.
Yeah.
It's the same.
Okay. So let's switch gears a little bit. So everyone does have that kind of, you know, I think if you look at the kind of non-cannabis world, the traditional brands, everyone asks us, being in cannabis, pretty much every day, at least once or twice, I get, Jeff, you know, is there going to be federal legalization? What do you think? Right. And I think everyone has different answers. But I'm just, when I'm thinking about you guys being at Lowell Farms, have you guys thought about, like, if there is a path to possible federal legalization, how are you guys preparing for that?
Well, it's really interesting. I mean, part of the reason why I went to California in the first place is I felt like California was the absolute best, you know, the best place to start a journey in terms of nationwide cannabis footprint. Partly because the product is so good in California, the consumer is so informed in California, the brands are so much more evolved, and the regulatory framework there is you know, more flexible than, you know, 10 licenses in New York State. But that said, you know, I would generally say, like, we're trying to focus our business on operating in the existing paradigm and not sort of like figments of fiction that exist on the other side of some sort of deregulation event. But that said, you know, caveat emptor, like, I think what happens on the other side of you know, these deregulation successive events that will start in relatively short order. I think we got a pretty short timeline for the Safe Banking Act to get through. I think you're going to see just the lines between the gray market and the legal market really start to blur. They're really going to start to blur. And when that happens, I think it's going to be, you know, you're not going to be able to rely upon a state boundary to support sort of much higher pricing in one market versus another. And that's when brands sort of will have their heyday. I mean, that's the sort of war game that we've been playing out for quite some time at Lowell.
Yeah. So I'm glad that you mentioned, you know, the gray market. And, you know, when I think about California in particular, you know, the illicit markers, obviously, it's still such a major obstacle to the growth of the actual legal adult use market in California. And, you know, just kind of thinking about this, you know, the California space in particular, but is there anything about the regulatory structure there that, you know, makes it difficult to thrive as legal market cannabis businesses, you know, they're all over? Like, is there any progress actually being made today?
Well, I mean, in the interest of not boring everybody to tears, I'll simply say yes. Yeah. Yes, there's the technical term is a shitload of things that make it difficult to operate in the legal market. Let's be honest, there's a wedding cake of taxes, both on a state and a municipal level. And then there's just a really capricious regulatory regime that makes it difficult to operate. Those two, when you add on top of it sort of a political, completely unwilling attitude towards enforcement of the illicit market and every single bodega in LA selling cannabis, you know, sort of behind the glass, that sets up for a market that's really struggling. And frankly, you know, Newsom yesterday, when he went through the budget proposal, they casually referenced the fact that, you know, sales are down in the third and fourth quarter or fiscal first and second quarter in California. That there's no reason, that's not a consumption problem in California. People are getting high just as much as they always have. That's a migration from A to B as consumers are sort of following their wallet and making it easier. So you can't blame the consumer in this regard. The consumers, you know, the consumers just acting on what's available to them. The problem is it's a policy perspective. And until the government says, until California, until Sacramento says, we want to crack down on illicit cannabis behavior, the only way that they can actually drive the illicit market out is by competition. And to do that is a formula that's not much more complicated than lowering taxes and reducing the regulatory overhead. If they do that, they're going to grow the pie. And you just hope that somebody there is sitting there saying, let's, instead of trying to raise taxes on this dwindling base of legal sales in California, let's try to make sure we capture more of the market inside the legal market. And that's better for everybody. It's better for the consumer and it's better for the operators in the space, especially those that have chosen to abide by the law.
Totally. Now on the Lowell side, you know, obviously compliance and changing regulations are kind of first and foremost for so many cannabis operators. And, you know, I ask this question a lot to many people, but, you know, how is Lowell really keeping up, you know, with everything and, you know, staying ahead of the curve, being competitive, making sure they're being compliant and everything they're doing?
Well, for us, the name of the game is cost, right? Keeping our costs down and driving our cost. You have to have a cost advantage over the landscape out there because the most of the marketplace out there is sort of on a race to the bottom. So we have to have cost leadership in everything we do from a business perspective. And then we have to maintain our standing with the consumer, and that's by vigilant adherence to quality standards. Ultimately, if you sort of can manage both of those from a top quartile, top decile perspective, you're going to have a business that's not only going to survive, but it's going to thrive. Mm-hmm. And that's paramount to us. What we've been lucky is that there's a huge following of Lowell's consumers out there. And so it's a fantastic product. It's a great product. It's iconic. It's one of the first products in all of cannabis that sort of gave permission for people to openly smoke cannabis. And we've been grateful for the patience and the willingness of our consumers to follow the brand where we've gone. We've introduced some really exciting new products. We introduced this amazing smash hit product that, you know, you just can't get anywhere, this Hashwrap product. And we've watched our consumers just do backflips on the internet about it. And that's super exciting. We've got a number of new launches coming up this year, sort of in keeping with that trend. But, you know, making sure that you're redefining what the cutting edge of cannabis looks like and staying there with the consumer. Otherwise, you kind of get lost as a brand.
Excellent. And, you know, I think my most pressing question today is, you know, mainly in the fact that we have so many operators out there and so many products hitting the market. And, you know, I think the last few years, it's been somewhat difficult to kind of create customer loyalty. Doesn't matter what state you're in or what you're selling. And I think now, as more and more people are, you know, they're kind of past the kind of curious stage and they're now using it in, you know, all facets of their life, whether it's for relaxation or sleep or just recreational purposes. So is there anything that you're seeing kind of being, you know, the chairman too, are your consumers getting more, you know, connected to the brand and, you know, are you guys driving more loyalty with your products? Is it still difficult? Are people just kind of being like, yeah, it doesn't matter where I get it as long as I get it? And so I see like a lot of people lately have started to really gravitate towards certain brands and the way they're marketing them. And I'm just curious if you guys saw any trends along loyalty for you guys.
Well, this is one of my favorite topics. I love this topic. And I generally think there's a couple of different ways you can pursue loyalty in CPG. The first is you can basically convince the consumer that your product is better and cheaper than its alternatives, right? And that's just a purely utilitarian based argument with the consumer. And a lot of products that we buy as consumers use that argument. And I think there's a lot of merit to that marketing argument. Lowell's a different tack. Lowell's not just a better product. It's about how you feel as a consumer. It's about how you identify as a consumer and what you identify with, who you're trying to tell the world you are when you use a product. And so it's less about, you know, the toothpaste choice you make at the end of the night and that spot a product holds on the medicine cabinet, like you tend to see in some of the categories like edibles. But it's much more about, I'm going out and I'm going to smoke weed. And I don't know how people judge and think about weed, but I'm going to do it in a way that is sexy and has class and has taste. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I'm going to bring my pack of Lowell's. And so it's in my opinion, you can choose which vector you want to pursue from a marketing standpoint. Cost and utility is really hard in cannabis, especially on utility, to try to convince consumers that one product is necessarily better than the others at the same price point is very challenging. And the reason for that is that cannabis is an awesome product, right? I mean, it's like one of the few products in all of history that really has lived up to its consumer promise. It makes your life better. It makes your Saturday night a shitload better. And so it's very hard. You know, it's very hard to differentiate between that. You know, I think it's more about the brand promise and what does it say about you and what does it say about your choices. And that's where, if you think about the biggest categories in all of CPG, right? You think about like automobiles, you think about sneakers and fashion and places where consumers they spend a lot of discretionary income. They're all based around this premise of what does a brand say about me? Not necessarily like, am I vigilantly adherent to the notion of more utility for a lower price, but I'm also buying into a concept of who's the version of me that I want to show the world and how does my product choice reflect in that?
Excellent. Well, George, fantastic insight. Love your answers. I think one of the greatest things about the show is that we have so many people, not just from the cannabis space, but also people who are curious about the cannabis space, listening to, you know, understand more. And it's about education. So, you know, love some of your answers and really appreciate you coming on. And it's great to hear, you know, obviously your viewpoint, not just from being the chairman, but also, you know, from being an investor in the space as well. So Really appreciate you coming on. George Allen, chairman of Lowell Farms and founder of Geronimo Capital.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for getting the word out. Really appreciate it.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.